So in the studio, I have the deputy director of Farmers Alley Theater, Rob Weiner. We have a performer named Natalie Randall, we're just about to meet, and returning Kalamazoo star, Jerry Dixon. Thank you all for being here this morning to preview this concert for our listeners and give them a little insight into the work and the production. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, good morning, Kara. Thanks for having us.
Good morning, Kara. Thank you.
I'll start with Rob, because we've already kind of gotten this conversation started when we had a season preview chat a couple weeks ago. You told me then that this is a piece of work from a now very established writer of musicals, but it's an almost experimental work.
Yeah, in a way it is. Jason Robert Brown, who amongst Broadway circles and people in the know about theater know how extremely talented a songwriter that he is. Musicals like Parade, The Bridges of Madison County, both of which we've produced here at Farmers Alley Theater. Mm-hmm. Other shows like 13 in the last 5 years. But Songs for New World was really his introduction to the theater, introduction of himself to the theater landscape. And what's really interesting about it is, in this sort of post-pandemic reopening that so many theaters are going through right now, I'm seeing Songs for New World popping up everywhere. They've been doing concert versions of it around New York, Washington, D.C., regional theaters all over. And this was, I believe, what we said when we spoke a few weeks ago. One of the shows that I was really excited about as an opener, as we sort of go back into this new world that can be scary at times. Mm-hmm. There are choices that we have to make that we're unsure one way or another. And what Jason's done in this song cycle is, it's not so much like, oh, well, a through line of characters speaking about something, but it's about, it's almost this through line of emotions. And they're all sort of connected in that way. And with Jerry and the performers, they're going to show you different ways in which these stories connect, in which ways that we as humans all connect with each other. And at the bottom line is, it is gorgeous music. It is songs and lyrics that entertain you, but also make you think. And I think it's going to be a very moving and sort of cathartic time with the theater as we're sort of getting back to normalcy in its way. And we're just bursting to perform live in front of an audience once again.
We also, I joked about the fact that it's called a song cycle, because as a classical announcer, I'm like, ooh, Schumann, Schubert, you know, where they take the poetry of a single poet and like make a series of beautiful song settings of this poetry, like Goethe. So is there any parallel here to that idea? Did he write all the lyrics? Did he write all the music? And does it continue through lines?
Yeah, he is a his own lyricist. You know, I'm not intelligent enough to be able to compare it to those song cycles that you spoke of. But what I think is unique about his songwriting style is that he's not tethered to just one style. I mean, there's so many different kinds of musics that show up in his music and within Songs for New World itself, whether it's traditional musical theater, whether it's some, you know, more gospel-y stuff. There's some, you know, R&B stuff in there. There's, you know, some, you know, ballads. And, I mean, it runs the gamut of emotions and styles. Musical-wise.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to turn to Jerry Dixon now, who is directing this piece, returning to old stomping grounds to work with Farmers Alley Theater. And one thing you mentioned off air is that you know Jason Robert Brown and have for many years. I guess maybe we could get out of the way whether you do you know if Jason Robert Brown went to music school and have been acquainted with song cycles by the
by no coincidence. Jason was classically trained, so I'm sure he's very aware of all of the things that you mentioned about song cycles. And I think the wonderful thing about the modern song cycle is that you go in not knowing how the songs relate. First song comes up and you go, well, I understand that theme. And the second song seems unrelated. And by the time you take it from 12 o'clock all the way around back to 12 o'clock, you understand how they connect. Mm. So at first, it what it does for the audience, it causes them to work a little bit because they have to sort of sit up and go, how do these connect? And then you finally find out how they connect.
Oh, I love that sense of earning the completion of a piece.
Well, theater in itself, if it's good, it causes you to lean forward because it makes your ears prick up. It makes your shoulders sort of turn away from yourself so that you can be ready to receive whatever the composer or the lyricist wants you to hear. And Jason is not only a wonderful handler of melody, he is a real tactician as far as getting to the human condition. And Songs for a New World is, I love how it embraces adversity so that you can get perseverance.
I see.
So it's that thing of earning your keep as a human being, that you have to be really involved in life in order to really get out of every bit of the day that you need and that you deserve. We deserve to get pleasures. We deserve to get success. We deserve to get wrapped in humanity, and that's what this song cycle does. It sort of wraps us in our own humanity and says, it's okay. You're going through a hard time. It's okay. We're all going through a hard time. It's okay. We'll get through it together.
I'm feeling very fortunate, and listeners, you should too. We're talking about well over a week before the show opens, so you have lots of time to plan for the premiere on the 8th. That's next Friday, a week from this Friday, and tickets are currently available at FarmersAlleyTheater.com. And I'm speaking with Jerry Dixon and Natalie Randall. A few words from you, Natalie, before we listen to one of the featured songs. From Songs for a New World by Jason Robert Brown. A little about your performing experience. You are a Midwestern lady and have actually appeared not only on stages but in film, television. You must have been fairly precocious. Did you start early as a theater performer?
My parents are pastors, so I grew up in the church singing, and I remember actually what got me into theater was the movie Annie with Aileen Queen, so like Bernadette Peters, like Carol Burnett, like that one.
Yeah.
And so I used to watch it all the time, and the first musical I did was Annie in my hometown in Springfield. I live in New York City now, but and then from there it was just like obsessed. I love theater. I must do this for the rest of my life. So that's basically, I went to college though for education. So I am a certified teacher with music and English. But, theater has always been the thing for me, commercials, film, all that kind of stuff. So once I graduated from college, I moved to New York and just started pursuing theater.
I'm not going to say that having your parents who as preachers means that they're theatrical, but does that also mean like bringing authenticity to the stage as an actor?
Yes, absolutely. Especially as my parents being pastors, my sisters and I were always in the eye of everybody. And also just my mom directed the choir. So by her directing the choir, I was already at choir rehearsal anyway, sitting and listening. So then at that point, it was just kind of like, well, come on, be in it, from when I was a child until even when I go home, I still sing with the choir. So I'll never leave. I will never be able to get out of it.
Now, what are some of the things that that you audition for and maybe you get calls about, people wanting your voice, your acting, your performing?
Yeah. Well, nowadays, especially during the shutdown, I've mainly been doing voiceovers. So it's very interesting. I'm always like listening to things now way more than I used to. So I do a lot of voiceover work, but I actually just recently made a documentary. I also did a shift there. So I executive produced that and I also directed it. So I had just got back to New York right before the shutdown from doing a show where I was playing Aretha Franklin in a show called A Night with Janis Joplin. So I played Aretha Franklin, Nina Simone, and it was amazing. So I got back the week of the shutdown and this is my first show back. So Aretha Franklin to this is very different, but I'm up for the challenge.
Wow. I haven't heard you sing a note, and I'm kind of already intimidated. I'm assuming you've got a lot of skill. Actually, since this is a long format interview, I do have time to hear about this documentary, if you don't mind telling us a little more.
Yeah, no, I would love to. It originally started as a documentary about my weight loss because I had lost over 100 pounds. And then when the shutdown happened, it just literally switched to what was happening in the world. And running, like actually running outside, is a huge thing for me. So I ran a 50-mile race that I created, like a 50-mile run for justice protest. So I ran, and every mile was dedicated to someone who lost their life to police brutality. And it is premiering in New York City at Doc NYC Film Festival. So I'm super excited about
I'm
that.
I'm sure you are. That's amazing.
So
will
that'll
be available online at some point.
Yes, it'll be premiering at that festival, and then it'll be online. There's another festival also that I'll be premiering with too in January. So we're just on the film festival circuit now, but fingers crossed that we get it distributed on Netflix or Amazon or something like that.
Gosh, do you think that experience, the training, the changes in your body and weight loss will be a life experience that will influence your performing?
Yeah, actually, it just made me more in tune with myself, you know, because when you're running, like you're thinking about, I mean, not only running, but there's so much you have to think about, especially with breath and feeling uncomfortable as breathing. You know, as someone who, I do have asthma, so also when I'm running, people are like, how are you running if you have asthma? But it's actually really helped me a lot with my breathing, especially for singing and just, you know, being in tune with myself. And I literally can feel the smallest thing, like, you know, an incline, walking differently, everything I 100% can feel. So coming back to the stage, you know, it's a whole different story for me.
So you're just really aware.
Yes, very, very aware of everything now.
Okay. Well, let's introduce the song we're going to hear from Songs for a New World. This is the production Farmers Alley Theater will present starting next Friday and continuing through October 24th. Perhaps, Rob, you could tell us again about tickets, and then we'll have Natalie tell us about the song.
Yeah, absolutely. So tickets are on sale now, and you can go to farmersalleytheater.com, as Kara said. Give us a call at the box office, 343-2727. I do want to make all your listeners aware, and maybe we'll touch on this a little later, of our current COVID-19 safety protocols. We are requiring all attendees to show proof of vaccination to attend the show, whether that's your vaccination card itself or a copy or a picture or a photo on your phone. That all works. We'll also be masking up within the theater as per CDC recommendations for larger indoor gatherings. And the response we've gotten about that has been overwhelmingly positive. And we're just doing everything we can to keep not just our audiences as safe as possible, but our artists as well. And that was just something that we felt like we needed to do in order to return as safely as possible.
I like it. It's very clear.
Yeah. So, and you can get that information on our website, or if you check out our social media channels at Facebook or Instagram as well.
Well, the song is called I'm Not Afraid. Natalie, would you set it up for us?
Yes. So in this song that I sing as voice one, you know, I'm just singing about how I'm not afraid of anything. And that sounds like such an easy statement to say, but in reality, if you listen to the song, you listen to the lyrics, there are so many things that people are afraid of that, you know, you don't even think, you might not even think twice about. Like, I'm like, you're afraid of that? What? You know? And so just being, I relate to this song so much, you know, being a very strong, independent woman, you know, just standing up. And even though sometimes maybe I am secretly afraid inside, to the exterior, I have to be strong and just keep pushing through. So I really love the lyrics of this song.
This is a commercial recording from, I think, 2018 is what I heard. So you'll have to be in your seats during the production if you want to hear Natalie Randall sing this song.
Jenny's afraid of water. I mean, she swims so well, but still she's afraid of water. So she won't go near the afraid of darkness. I mean, she sleeps and all, but still she's afraid of anyone. Not a soul alive who can get behind this wall. So let them call and watch them fall. 'Cause after all, I'm not afraid.
Music from Songs for a New World. The song is I'm Not Afraid of Anything, and it will be sung by Natalie Randall when the show hits the stage a week from this Friday. It'll be October 8th. Details at farmersalleytheater.com. Jerry Dixon is the director of this production. And Jerry, you're already going to go down in the history books as a performer who's originated more than one or two or three roles on Broadway and off Broadway. You've handled, you've become a director. You've actually just recently finished 3 years with the Village Theater in Seattle area. That is an amazing accomplishment for a kid who went to Kalamazoo Central and has found so many beautiful outlets for your talent, your passion. I was going to ask you about casting the show, but perhaps you could just observe a few things about the many paths your life has taken you.
Well, Kara, you touched on a few things. One of the things you touched on is the fact that I started theater here in Kalamazoo, and I'm so proud of the fact that I can say that the experiences and the training and the directors and teachers that I had in Kalamazoo, Michigan, really prepared me to be competitive in the New York theater scene. And that is the toughest scene in the country, if not the globe, on the globe. And I'm really proud of that fact that I can say that many people are able to go to theater school. I did not go to theater school. My family could not afford that. But what they could do is give me access to Case Central's theater program, to the Civic summer programs, to the Civic itself. Mm-hmm. And then one of the first professional theaters that was in, I believe, it wasn't the Radisson then, but it is that building. There was a small professional theater down there. So when I arrived in New York, I was ready, which a lot of people can't really say. And I really do attribute that to my upbringing in the theater community of Kalamazoo, Michigan, which I call my theater hometown because I was actually born and raised in Chicago.
I see.
Kalamazoo is definitely my theater hometown. The other thing you touched on is the varied things that I do.
Yeah.
And it takes me back to something that Natalie was saying about being a performer and now being basically a writer, director, producer of a documentary. And for me, I really love that we can keep expanding. We're not changing what we're doing. We're just expanding. It's just another way of telling a story. So I can be on stage telling a story. I can write a song and tell that a story that way. I can direct and help sort of collaborate and tell the story with others. I can then become an artistic director and choose the stories and choose the people who tell those stories. Mm-hmm. So for me, it's all a continuum. It all belongs to the same thing, mm-hmm, of being a storyteller and being a collaborator. And speaking of collaboration, along with Natalie are three other really talented actors, Joss N. Banks, Cara Palumbo, and Matthew Stoke. And the four of them together are magic, not just because of their voices and their acting talent and their moving abilities, but their ability to gift us with their vulnerability. Because singing in particular is very different musically than I play piano. Touching a key, you can rely that if you press the key of C, it's going to sound C.
Yeah.
If you blow a horn, it's going to blow. It may not be in tune. It's going to blow, though. But with voices, human voices are very vulnerable. So the very act of singing is a brave act because you don't know what's going to happen, no matter how trained you are. And I've been to operas. I've been to Broadway. And you get what you get because you're a human being, right?
Yes.
And
yes.
So what that allows us to do as the audience members is go, oh, wow, that must be something to get up there. Whether you're feeling it or whether you're not, to get up there and still tell the story and still you do 100% of what you've got that day. It may be different from last night. It may be different from tomorrow. But that's the challenge and I think the gift that a live performer brings to us is their all of their life. And in Songs for a New World, they're telling Jason Robert Brown stories. But they're also bringing their life stories. So underneath, in the underbelly of each song, is Natalie's experience, is Joss's experience, is Matthew's, is Kara's. So that's the exciting thing about watching live theater.
Were you at all acquainted with any of the cast members beforehand?
Not a one. And
really? That's
such a joy. One of the things that we get to do as a collaborative artist is get in a room with virtual strangers and work on the same thing together. And, of course, at the other end, you're not strangers anymore. I really love that. For some directors, it terrifies them to work with new people. I thrive on it. I think it's the secret ingredient behind storytelling is that we can come from different walks of life, different ages, different ethnic backgrounds, different social backgrounds, and you sit in a room and agree on how to tell the story.
Was it difficult or even annoying to, you know, audition people through video rather than, you know, in the same room?
I would say it's an annoying reality that we had to quickly embrace. And turns out, you know, many years ago, it would have been unheard of to hire an actor without seeing them in person. It would have an actor who said, I can't make it. Can I send a tape in for a live theater event? Like, no way. Just no way. And now it's really become the norm. And this was really before the pandemic that this was starting. And to that end, we are going to keep a lot of the practices that we learned over the 18 months that we've been sort of cooped up inside with ourselves.
Forced to learn.
And that's one of them. We're going to keep the video tool to because it allows us to reach across the country where you're only in live theater auditions, you're only accessing people who can get there to the theater.
Regionally. Yeah.
Now we get to anybody who wants to audition can send an audition in. And so that's great because now we get a cross section of the nation, even more so in a regional theater, which is amazing.
I think Rob has something to say here.
Well, I mean, one of the things that Farmers Alley Theater was built upon was not only cultivating this homegrown talent that we have here in the West Michigan area, but reaching out to New York City, to Chicago, to LA, to wherever, to find the best talent that we can bring to Michigan, but also bringing back artists like Jerry, like Kara, who was a student at Western, back to Kalamazoo to say, like, hey, hometown theater, you know, we're back and here's what we have to show you. So Farmers Alley Theater can be a landing place for those artists who have gone off to successes other places in the country and still have that little theatrical home as well. And like Jerry, you know, I hadn't worked with these actors before, aside from Kara, who was in a performance with us several seasons ago. And I just want to continue to say what Jerry said, which was that they're lovely human beings, beyond their talent, which is immense and elite. And when you come and see the four sing during our run, it's going to be a almost, you know, spiritual experience for you with some of these songs. But from the little time that I've spent with them, these are all good-hearted, good-natured people, And those are the kinds of people that Farmers Alley wants to attract. And we're so thankful for Jerry. I know when Jeremy reached out to you, it was sort of like this pie in the sky. Can we get Broadway star Jerry Dixon, who's been in the original companies of Once on This Island and If Then and Tick, Tick, Boom, to come back to Kalamazoo? It's, well, I don't think it's possible. And so to have Jerry say yes, to have all these actors say yes, it's just really affirming to Farmers Alley Theater that we're trying to cultivate the type of work, the type of artists, and the community that we've built here is working for us. And so we're just extremely appreciative of actors, not just from the Kalamazoo, West Michigan area, but from all over the country. And to Jerry's point about the video auditioning, you know, I was seeing submissions for the musical High Fidelity that I was going to be directing in the summer of 2020 before the pandemic shutdown hit. And that's all I was doing was sifting through video auditions for different roles from people all over the country, even from like across the pond. I was seeing stuff from folks from England and whatnot. So it's really changed the landscape, but it does allow you to see people and to get to know artists that you wouldn't otherwise have the ability to work with.
Your lists are growing.
Yeah.
And I also want to add that I'm you know, it's always a partnership. It's always collaboration. I just wanted to just give a nod to my leading partner in the room, Cole P. Abad, who is our musical director.
Yes.
And one of the artists who's absolutely contributing to all the storytelling that's going on besides teaching the music and getting the band together and playing in the pit and conducting all those things,
pit,
all
yeah.
those hyphenated.
Yeah.
So it's really wonderful. So and to the point about being asked to come back or to visit something that maybe seems impossible, I always say you have to ask. You never know what answer you're going to get back. They can say no or they can say yes. But I always say, just ask me, because you never know where my life is. And it just so happened that this window was just a window of perfection of my schedule aligning with the opportunity and just my love for coming back to Kalamazoo, Michigan.
Yeah. Jerry, I've not seen a production of this show, Songs for a New World, before. And as the description says, you know, it's not a full musical. So there's a problem there. How do you make it cohesive? Do you have a challenge in staging this in a way where it does have a storyline, or does Jason Robert Brown do all the work for you?
He doesn't do all the work, and it's not his intention to do so. And he always says that in any interview. He actually says that there's no through line and no connection. He's being a little glib about that. There is a connection actually, if not only for his sensibility as a musician. But it's not for me. It's more of a challenge rather than a problem or an issue. It's more of a challenge on how you connect. And frankly, when a director is preparing, you over prepare. And then you must be prepared to get out of the way. So I very much like a film, I storyboarded the entire show of what I was seeing.
Does that mean you literally?
I literally made scenarios for each song or circumstance or
yeah.
something to get over in each song. Then you get in the room and you watch. I watch musical rehearsal because when the songs are being taught, because it gives me information about how the company is learning. And that's a bit of data that I think is really important for a director. Then you also get to hear the songs over and over in repetition and go, the songs are actually doing a lot of the work. So then I can go back to my storyboard and start to edit things out that I've superimposed on it. And as we start to get on our feet and stage those ideas, I can go, ah, the communication between the actors is enough. Let me carve away a little bit more of what I've done. So by the time we get to October 8th, what you'll be seeing is really being generated by the four people on stage. Okay. I'm just sort of like an orchestrator waving a baton and going, this is where you go. But I have nothing to do with the stuff that's inside their gut. That's the gift that the actors are going to give the audience. So I just have to get out of the way. And so every day I might say one thing on one day, and then the next day, I'm almost always going to carve it away rather than add something. So that's been the challenge.
Natalie, have you seen this philosophy in action yet, or is there still more?
No, yeah, I've definitely seen it in action, and even with the song we played, I'm not afraid. He gave me like where he would like me to land, where to stand, you know, and even from there, because I can be doing something and it's not that I am like purposely missing the blocking, but just in my head, what my natural instinct is to do, and just meeting and collaborating that way together, which I think is amazing, because sometimes you have directors who are like, no, this is where you're going. This is what's happening. Even though I know the instinct, I know the feeling I have, especially with something a little looser like this, I feel like there can be more collaboration, as opposed to if you are doing something like Annie the Musical. I just reference Annie all the time because it is my favorite musical. Trying to be Miss Hannigan at some point. My dream of being Pepper the Orphan is gone. But, you know, those are a little bit more strict. But with that, with this show, it can be a little looser.
We should go back to some music from Songs for a New World. And the next one up is I'd Give It All for You. Jerry, where does this appear and who's singing?
This song feels to me like, you know, you jumble up all those life lessons and all the knocks in life. And one of the things about relationships, I'm in a very long-term relationship. I'm married for some time now, but in a 30-year relationship. And I couldn't imagine not having my relationship. But there was a separation. And in that separation, the thing that we learned is, yes, we have our freedom, but what we don't have is connection. And you decide what you value more. And so these two human beings have been apart. They decided something. They made a choice to move away from each other. But they come back together, and they go, this is not going to be perfect, but I'd give anything to start it over and be here with you in the imperfection of this relationship. And I think this is not just about a romantic relationship. I think a father-daughter, father-son, mother-daughter, I think there's always this thing of like, wouldn't it be better if we just like walked in our own separate directions? But I feel that's too easy. I feel we human beings, we need to be connected, and connection is messy. But
yes, it is.
It's so vital, especially to watch these two human beings. Again, we come back to coming out of this collected event that we've been on this journey we've been on for the last 18 months. And to watch people decide to do the hard thing and be together is really just heartwarming.
We're going to go back to this 2018 commercial cast recording, but if you want to hear this, how it's envisioned for Farmers Alley Theater by director Jerry Dixon and with four incredible cast members, including my guest here today, Natalie Randall, you'll have to buy your tickets for the show, which opens on October 8th. That's a week from this Friday, and it will run through the 24th. FarmersAlleyTheater.com is where you'll find the details. Here's the song, I'd Give It All for You.
I had a house while you were gone. The week after you left me, found a couple acres near Severna Park. I had a house while you were gone. A house with silver shutters and a driveway laid in marble and thousands of rooms to fill. Things that are dearer, I love you too much to trust something clearer. Here you are.
We're listening to music from Songs for a New World with cast member Natalie Randall and director Jerry Dixon. The show will start the season at Farmers Alley Theater on October 8th. And tickets and more information are at farmersalleytheater.com. It's really been a wonderful hour spent with you all. I wish I could keep you for another one. Okay, really simple question. If I go to the show, will I understand the words? This is like a something that sometimes I miss a lot, even in English, you know. Is that a big concern as a performer, Natalie?
I think when you come, you will not miss the words. You know, there are some shows out there now that you have to see maybe 2-3 times. And I mean, what comes to mind immediately for me is like something like Hamilton, just because there were so many things. And I also like to sit in different like different mezzanines when I see. So I like to sit in the front. I like to sit up top because there's so many different things you can gain from that. But because this is, you know, intimate setting, there's 99 seats.
A little over 100. Yeah.
Yeah. A little over 100 seats. So no matter where you're sitting, you will not only definitely feel intimately close with us, but I mean, unless you're just like looking up at the sky or just, you know, like not paying attention, you, because the way it's directed also helps tell the story too. So if you can't actually maybe catch all the words, we might have sudden movements or gestures that really show what's happening in the song. So there, yeah, you definitely won't miss anything.
I would also say, you know, the work, as Jerry mentioned, that our music director, Cole Abad, has been doing with the actors, and they're all super talented. This is not their first rodeo. They know how important enunciation and diction is. We have a tremendous sound designer. His name is Tony Mitchell, who's worked on a lot of shows at Farmers Alley Theater, and he's really top-notch as well. And what's interesting about these songs, you know, it's no shade on, you know, Gershwin or, you know, Cole Porter or something like that, obviously great lyricists in their own right. Mm-hmm. But there's a little more insight into the human connection, into the human condition in some of these songs. So you'll want to be, as Jerry said, you know, using your ear to earn the emotional release that these songs take you on. It's not just, you know, embrace me, embraceable you, and it just is kind of at this one level this whole time kind of thing. Each song takes you on its own little journey. It's like, it's almost like its own little three act play, and the bridge almost serves as like the end of act two of something. And then you get to the end, and where you are at the end of the song isn't necessarily where you were at the beginning of the song. And that's the evolution of theater in a way. And I think just another testament to the great skill that Jason Robert Brown has as a composer.
Hmm. Yeah. And sometimes people ask like what a director does, and so many people think that we direct the emotions of the storytelling or the actors, and that couldn't be less true for me. I rarely ever get involved in the actor's emotional output because they take care of all that work for me, and definitely for the storytelling. So I'm always looking, you talked about understanding, I'm always going to be looking for clarity, not what you're feeling. Are you sad? This song needs to be emotional. The song needs to be funny. I'm looking for the song to be clear. Yeah. And I don't mean my version of clear. I'm watching the actor, and if what the actor has come up with, if that's laser focus, that's what I'm interested in. and they'll show me something. Oh, yes, keep that, because that's clear. That speaks to me. That speaks to the song, and it aligns with the words and with the action of the each song. So so clarity is key for me, and that yes comes with diction, but also comes with a focus that actors bring to their work. That nothing, no word, no punctuation, no rhythm is an accident. But it's always has intent behind it, so that the intent then gives you the impact.
Oh, Jerry, you have this like combo of you plan ahead. You know, you plan for many different contingencies, but then it sounds like you're also using instinct really carefully, like intuition.
Yeah, I watch things, and I'm also very, very. Now I won't say hard on myself. I am very willing to say that piece of staging is terrible, or I have put you in a terrible place, because human beings. They are not pennies on a string, which is a technique that directors use for pre-blocking the show. human beings move through space differently than I sometimes use army men or salt and pepper shakers. Whatever you do, that's all theory. And then you get the human beings in the space and they move differently. And each human being moves differently. And so what we have to do is we have to keep listening during rehearsal and go, ah, that's how they move. That's how they move through space. That's the time they need to get from A to Z. They need a little longer. They need or shorter. Whatever it is, I'm continually listening to the bodies on stage and getting to know them, especially when I have never worked with them together.
You'll have almost a week or a whole week, yeah, actually, to continue this work. And then the show opens next Friday. And I'm afraid we've all actually run out of time. We have a chance to hear a final song called Hear My Song, which I believe is at the end of the show or the cycle, you might call it. I'm really hard. It's hard to not keep following up on threads today. Perhaps, Jerry, since this is a transitional point for you, your work with Village Theater in the Seattle area is coming to a close, and here you are in Kalamazoo for a short time. What's next for you?
Yeah, I love that you put me in the transition mode, because I rarely think of it that way, but I really am. I have people ask me, okay, so you've been there for 3.5 years. Now what's next? I say, I have no idea. Mm-hmm. And that used to frighten me as a professional, and now it does not at all. I know that you get to know yourself. You get to know there's a sort of a bravado that you have that can border on arrogance, because I know my talent. I have a foundation. I know I will work. It's just what do I want to do next? That's the question. What do I want to do next? Rather than will there be an opportunity? There will be opportunities. So
will they have the right challenge?
Yeah. So you know, this song, Hear My Song, is not only hear what I'm talking about today, that you're hoping that people have faith in you tomorrow, that they'll hear your song again and again and again, and they'll come back because they trust that you're going to be honest, that your song is going to have integrity, that whatever next thing you do is going to be for good reasons. Not necessarily right or wrong, but really good reasons, the good stuff. So this song is it's sort of an anthem giving us all permission to be ourselves.
Jerry Dixon, Natalie Randall, thank you so much for joining me here in the studio to preview this show. And Rob Weiner, thank you for being a co-host, really, for Farmers Alley Theater.
Thank you, Kara.
FarmersAlleyTheater.com is where you'll find tickets. And here's a small portion of this song, which you'll hear in full starting next Friday.
I know you're weary, and your eyes want to close. The days are getting longer, you're not getting any stronger. Trust me, Mama knows. But lie in my arms while you're sleeping. Think of the rivers you've crossed. I tell you the dreams I've been keeping for moments like this, when your hope is lost. Hear my song.